It is good when God steps in. I do hope you realize that Jesus is Lord of his church, and if he wants to interrupt anything at any time, he's allowed to do that, right? Amen. Great. Okay, so in with today's teaching. Are you ready? We're going to carry on looking at membership, and we're in the third part of the commitment that we ask people to make when they become members. So I'm helping those who are visiting and those who are already here and those who have already become members to understand what we're looking for in leadership, in membership. So into this third section we go. And the main subject you'll see as we deal with this today is about servanthood. Serving God and serving people. So right, the third commitment is this. I will serve the ministry of my church by discovering my gifts and talents, by being equipped to serve by my pastors and leaders, by developing a servant's heart. Now I'm going to start pulling those three things apart and just sharing a couple of words with them just to give some content. So we kick off with, I will serve the ministry of my church by discovering my gifts and talents. 1 Peter 4 verse 10 in the Phillips translation says, serve one another with the particular gifts God has given each of you. Now I want you to understand that every believer has received spiritual gifts in order to serve God on this planet. The word gift, charisma, means the very special ability given to the believer by God. And note that this gift is from God. It's not natural talent. We've all been born with some form of natural talent. This is not talking about this. This is talking about a spiritual enabling, a gift from God. And then it's a spiritual gift, that is, it is given by the Spirit of God for spiritual purposes. It's given to believers so that we can fulfill our task on earth. God has thought of everything. He hasn't omitted anything to do with your life and my life. When we were born with natural gifts and talents given by God. When we were born again, God added to that through the Holy Spirit the spiritual gifts that we need to fulfill our calling on this earth. If you do not know by now that God has a plan for your life, it's wake up time. You were born for a purpose. And it wasn't to drive your parents crazy. You were born to fulfill what God planned for you before the very beginning of creation. So we need to move on there. Well, if we look at gifts, we know that certain books in the Bible have lists of gifts, and as you try to read that, I'll just share some other words with you. We use our gifts, or supposed to use our gifts, as good stewards. When God gives you something, he wants you to use it correctly and to its full potential. Okay? Now, we are to use our gifts serving and ministering to one another. And to do it as good stewards. In other words, we don't do it when we feel like it. We do it whenever we can. And what an awesome responsibility God has given us. He says, he has gifts, I want you to use them. You're responsible for using them and you're accountable to me, says God, for the use of them. Now, no one can use the gifts that God has given you. Only you can use those gifts. Now, if you fail to use the gifts that God has given you, they lie dormant. Okay? Nothing comes of them. And your mission on earth is unfulfilled. Because God put you here for a purpose. And if those gifts are left to lie dormant, one day you will face God and He's going to ask you, why didn't you use the gifts I gave you? Start preparing your answer now, because it's going to be a tense moment. Okay. Now, there's no time for us to go through these gifts and explain any of them. But if you haven't attended Catch the Vision Part 2, David deals with gifts in that second session of membership. And you can also go onto the web. There are many Christian sources that give teaching on spiritual gifts. Just make sure that you don't get into a New Age thing, because then you'll find the gift of smoking pot and all the rest of it is added. If you suddenly today become aware of the fact that you've got gifts and you haven't used them and you need help, David is who you go and talk to. All right, he's responsible for making that contact, and then we work with his opinion after that, okay? So he's the guy, the one that's walking around with a remote. All day, all night, eh, David? Right, the second thing, I will serve the ministry of my church by being equipped to serve by my pastors and leaders. Now, a very important scripture is the one in Ephesians 4:11. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So these gifted people are servants for the rest of the Christian community. It's their task to train and equip members in the church to do their ministry. So if you think of any of the staff members, our job is to help equip and train you for your ministry. Now, of course, we can only get that right if you connect with us, right? An apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, or teacher is not just a position, but it's a function. You know that we don't go by labels in the church here because we're not interested in positional stuff, all right? Nobody dare call me an apostle because that, at the same time you do that, you give me your songs for your funeral. I don't need labels in my life. I know who I am. Yes. My dad and mom gave me a name and God agreed to that name, Alan. Amen. He recognizes that name. But if you walk up to me and say apostle, I wouldn't know who the heck you're talking about. And when you say pastor, it often sounds like pasta. I might not be hungry at that moment, okay? So I want you to notice that it's not a call to a position of important headship. So contrary to what's out there in the church. I mean, positional authority is so sought after by crazy people in the church. And the things that they get up to because of their immaturity just sadden me. It's a function for motivating God's people to fulfill God's calling on their lives. And I want you to know that in the New Testament times, no person was appointed to any leadership position unless they showed servanthood. If they weren't serving, they weren't ever promoted. Now, it is true that these folk are overseers of the church, and they do carry authority, the apostles, prophets, etc. But it's the authority of being a servant of Christ. We never must forget that Jesus is head of the church, and he's the final authority in the church. Turning to Ephesians 2:10, says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us." You can't get away from what the scripture says. You were created to do good works. We were all created to do good works. So the question is, do you know what the question is? What are you doing? Yeah. So from this scripture, we can see that active and not passive membership is required from believers. We were created to do good works by God Himself. And the degree to which we get active in ministry is a reflection on our relationship in Him. Think about that one. If Jesus is Lord, if He's the head of the church, if He has all authority, when He says something, shouldn't we actually do it? So, it really goes a little bit further than this. It also reveals our level of maturity and commitment to God as a believer. If we're not getting into doing the good works that we've been created for, then we're actually saying to God, with you, I'm going to do my thing. And you know, the minute you do your thing, you've had it. So what I want to convey to you is simply this. The staff and the leaders in this church are here to help you fulfill your calling in God. And that's our main job. It's to equip you. So there are many ways in which we do this. One of the most effective ways is when you relate to us person to person, and we can help you personally with how you should minister. But very few people do that. So most of our equipping happens through group work and that kind of stuff, which is not quite what Jesus had in mind. So allowing the staff, the leaders, to equip you is what commitment as a member is about. Because if you don't allow us to do that, we can't do our job. That's all right, just keep paying us. We certainly will find something else to do. Unfortunately, the ministry of the septic tank is now almost completely gone, because the office block will now be this week connected to the main sewerage. And so that ministry has just gone down the tube. Sorry for that one. Okay. One back. I will serve the ministry of my church by developing a servant's heart. And this is a key part of all membership. Philippians 2 verse 3. Turn to the person next to you and say, don't be selfish. And now get to the next level of getting into trouble. Say, don't try to impress others. That one hits the nail on the head for many people, doesn't it? He says, be humble, thinking of others better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. Jesus came as a servant to humanity. Servanthood was his attitude and his lifestyle. And not only did he live it, teach it, he taught it, for sure. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And that's the real challenge of our modern day society. We cannot serve God and materialism at the same time. I just hope many of you get into the Connect groups and go through this stuff with Rick Warren. It's gonna shake all the off you. Because he deals with exactly how we can change our lives so that we glorify God a little bit more. So we cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve yourself and serve God. You can only serve God if you want to be right in the kingdom. Here's another scripture to chew on. Galatians 5:13, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Yeah, these are challenging, very challenging texts. I mean, look around at the people that are sitting here with you. These are the people you must be serving. How many of them would you like to serve? How many of them would you actually like to avoid? Well, those two things shouldn't be in your lifestyle, because we've been called to serve one another. And so we should never be focusing on our own desires, but rather focused on our calling in God. I'm going to be preaching a series on firsts when I'm finished with the membership. And you'll see a number of firsts that are important in our lifestyle. Because if those firsts aren't first, our relationship with God is not good. So love is serving one another. Now, how can we serve Jesus Christ? We want to serve the Lord. It's very simple. By doing exactly what he did, loving and serving others. A person who loves, serves, and helps. They show kindness and gentleness. They express concern and care. They demonstrate sympathy and empathy towards others. Others are made to feel important. Now I want to touch on two verses of scripture in Mark's gospel. Mark chapter 10, verse 44 is where we start. And whoever wants to be first must be servant of all. The word servant comes from the Greek word doulos. And it's the Greek word for a servant whose primary responsibility was to serve food and wait on tables. And it presents a picture of a waiter or waitress who painstakingly attends to the needs, wishes, and wants of his or her customer. Now, if you went to a restaurant, let's just get a picture quickly. You go to a restaurant, and there's a waiter who's supposed to be waiting on you, and they just ignore you. And eventually you, hey! And then another waiter tells that waiter, hey, wake up, that table's calling you. I don't call that person a waiter. Yeah, I don't know what they're waiting for, but they're not serving. They're not interested in me. And then if I don't give them a tip at the end of the evening, they're really upset. So I've got a list when I get the bill. I say to Charles, did he or she smile? How long did we wait for them to come to our table? Is it tick or cross? And so, and their tip is related to how they served. Normally I'm generous. They get 5 cents if they're good. Now, I just want to share with you, restaurants in the first century were very, very rare. But I discovered there were restaurants in the time of Jesus. So most servants, doulos, worked in exclusive homes and palaces of the elite, the rich, and the famous. And these were, you can guess this, they were well-trained, highly refined, high-class servants who served with sophistication and finesse. I think that kind of high standard and attitude of excellence is what God expects from every believer who serves in the kingdom. Think about it. Why would the level of excellence be expected in a high-class restaurant and not in God's kingdom? Just think about it. I didn't say make up your mind, I just said think. As God's servants, we should be well-trained, highly refined, and equipped to minister to any need with which we are confronted. And serving with an excellent standard should be our goal. So let's look at the second verse. And this comes from Tony's favorite translation. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come expecting to be served by everyone, but to serve everyone, and to give his life as a ransom price in exchange for the salvation of many. How many of you have got an attitude that you want to be served? You know, I've been coming to this church so long now, people should appreciate who I am. They should at least dust off my chair where I normally sit. Yeah. That's the opposite of Jesus, eh? Totally. The word diakonia is derived from the word diakonos. Now, I'm not using Greek to impress you. I'm trying to help you understand something. Which means to be an attendant, to wait upon menially or as a host, to minister or serve. And we get our English word deacon from this Greek word. And in some churches, they have deacons who have misunderstood the word deacon, that they're supposed to be a doulos, a servant, and they, they don't deek. Exactly. So Jesus was the supreme example of serving the needs of people with excellence. And he was so committed to fulfilling the assignment given to him that he was even willing to serve to the point of self-sacrifice. His service in saving mankind, us, would demand from him the highest level of commitment, dedication, attention, and excellence. When he went to the cross on your and my behalf, he went there totally committed to saving us. Now think about it. Again, I'm getting you to think a little bit today. Jesus is the Lord of all. He's the creator of the universe. He's part of the Trinity. He is the begotten Son of God. And yet when he came to earth, his purpose was not to be served, but to serve. Jesus' entire purpose was to serve and give his life away, not to be served or to demand the respect, approval, or adoration of mankind. The word diakonos, deacon, describes those who are excellently serving someone and who are profoundly committed to fulfilling a specific task with a higher standard and level of proficiency. So I want you to know that when you read the word servant, that we're supposed to serve one another, that we are meant to serve God, it's meant to be done with the highest standard or level of proficiency, because that's what the Greek word meant. And this is excellent high-level servanthood, not sloppy service, as is found in many Christian circles today. A half-hearted serving. You want to catch somebody half-hearted serving refreshments after the service? You go there and you say, "Could I have a cup of coffee, please?" They say, "There's a cup, there's a coffee, there's the milk, there's the sugar. Help yourself." Anyone who does that to you, you know they're not a servant. You just come highly recommend to us that we take them out of the kitchen because they're a bad example. I want you to keep in mind that God is watching us today. He watches us all the time. There never is a split second that God is not aware of every single thing we're thinking and doing. I mean, it's so intimate, if you pass gas, he knew it was coming before it came. I mean, I'm just trying to help you understand, nothing escapes God. Nothing. We cannot hide away from him. That's why the Bible says, if you go to the highest height, the deepest depth, you go, poof, wherever you want to go, you cannot get away from God. He's all over, everywhere, all the time, and he is watching us. Just observing how much we love him. He's not out policing us. The Holy Spirit does that. Are we serving with excellence? Are we sincerely waiting to serve the best way that we can? Are we looking for opportunities to serve? Do we, when we get to church on a Sunday, do we look around and see, oh, yeah, somebody that needs a little bit of help getting to their chair? Maybe they come in with crutches and you pick them up and you bring them to a chair. You know, just looking for an opportunity to serve. And not only in this building. When you're out in the world, when you're shopping, do you look for an opportunity to serve? I have a wonderful time, I must tell you, I have a wonderful time shopping because I stay around all the short people. And I'm not talking about Charles this time because I got my list, she's got her list. But I like being around the short people because they stand there looking, how am I going to get that? And then I love going and saying, can I get that for you? Yes, please. And then I turn around and say, Pat. No, don't do that. I also help people by putting stuff in their basket that they didn't ask for. Hey, did I say that or think it? Does our service demonstrate the excellent standard that God expects in his kingdom? Now, I'm asking you personally now. The standard that you serve, both God and man, is it the standard that God expects in his kingdom? And if you say no, God's saying to you, change it. Just change it. He's not here to whip you and beat you up and all the rest. He just says, look, I'll give you another chance. Just do it. Or have we been satisfied with a low level of servanthood in our life and we're not really going to do anything about it? We're so busy with everything else, why should we worry about this? Well, this has to do with eternal life. It has to do with being responsible for what God has given you. If you fulfill your task with a high standard of excellence, I tell you as a child of God that God will see to it that you are richly rewarded. When we are faithful, blessings pour from above. When we're unfaithful, it's the opposite. It really is the opposite. Now, I want to remind you, in this membership thing, we never ask people to do anything that's not in Scripture. We only ask them to do what God expects them to do. And so next week, I will end off with level number 4. But let me remind you again of level 3 commitment. I will serve the ministry of my church by discovering my gifts and talents, by being equipped to serve by my pastors and leaders, and by developing a servant's heart. It's loaded. But the end result is a wonderful church experience. Let's stand. I'm just going to pray a short little general prayer for all of us. And then I'm going to just let you know now that when this prayer is over, service is over, but we're not finished serving you. So if you're sick, if you were prayed for earlier and the pain hasn't gone away, come back for more prayer. If you need God to touch you in any area of your life, the prayer team is here to serve. They want to see God bless you. We don't want you to go away unblessed. So if you're sick, I know what most Christians are like. You know, I don't need prayer, man. I'll just get better. Flu will only take 2 weeks. 2 months later, well, it was long 2 weeks, this. Get the prayer, okay? Why suffer without God's presence and healing in your life? So that was an invitation. Let's pray together. Lord, I'm going to speak on behalf of everyone here. And so I say, Lord, I want to serve you with the highest level of excellence. Forgive me for times when I've tolerated a low standard in my life, in my business, in my ethics, in my church, in my ministry, in my family life, whatever. Help me to serve in such a way that glorifies you, Jesus. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask, come and help me, please. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Go in peace. The Lord Jesus be with you.